I guess probably most preachers wouldn't take such delight in people being so happy to leave. They're and the littlest ones are there, then they get at the door and stop, and the next one of the older ones come up. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, what time is it anyway? We've been doing this since Christmas, time. What time is this? It's an evil time, we were told, but, you know, because of COVID. We started, when I first came here, studying Amos. God said that it's an evil time. It's a time when the prudent keep silent. And so I've been following that idea. It's a time for it's an evil time. Therefore, it's a time for Christians to what? Stand up. To stand, know what we stand on, what we stand for. To stand with him and to stand the same way as he does. We saw it was a time to draw near a couple weeks ago. We saw that it was a time to bear witness with the holidays of Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And we had communion those two Sundays. And by taking a communion, we proclaim, right? We proclaim that the Lord is alive and he's coming again. So it is an evil time. And because it's an evil time, it's time to set our house in order, if you have a bulletin. It's time for us to make sure that our house is in order. What time is it? Did you hear about the guy who threw his alarm clock out the window? Ah, you all listened to Jungle Jam yesterday? I heard that on Jungle Jam yesterday. Obviously, it wasn't the first time because I've already told you I listen to Jungle Jam every Saturday, and they repeat about every 3 weeks. And because I'm where I am in life, that's just wonderful. It's new every week for me. I'm just, you know, like the I had the privilege of spending some time with Ava Lee the other day, and we found out, you know, that we get along really well because that's where I live, 8 to 12. All of my entertainment and stuff is right in that group. So yeah, you got the punchline on me. He wanted to see. Time flies. Now, the older we get, the faster it flies, right? Why is that? Well, because when you're young, all of it's in front of you. And as you get older, you know instinctively that your days are numbered. Not only are they numbered, but the number is getting smaller, and you have much more time behind you than in front of you. And therefore, it seems like what? Time flies. Time goes by really fast. So let older people like me say, how time flies. In the Proverbs in chapter 23, time is like money. Money flies. In Proverbs 23, he says, don't set your heart on money because it has wings like eagles. It doesn't just fly away, but it flies high. And the more when you focus on it, And spending your life for it as it flies away. Have you ever noticed one time we watched an eagle? There's lots of them right by my house. We see them almost daily. And we were down there one day in the boat, and this osprey, I think, or something, I don't know what it was, but it come down really close to us. And then it went up, up, up. And this eagle was chasing it off its territory. And I live near the Marie Antoinette lookout. In the top of Brummerfield Mountain, there, the mountain, we watched the eagle over there, and it kept going up, up, up until you just couldn't see it anymore. And that's like money. It's like time. It flies, and therefore, time is like money, that we're not to set our heart upon what's already gone. You can't spend it twice, so don't keep going back there. When we're disordered, we waste money, we waste time, and we can't afford to do that in an evil time. We can't afford to do that in a time, as we've been noticed in Romans 13 and Ephesians chapter 5, a time when the night is far spent, the day is coming. It's an evil time. It's time to wake up. It's time for us as a church to look like a church, like an army marching in step with God, like a family who likes to be together, and like a church family who likes to be together. And so it's an evil time, and it's a time that calls out the best in us. And it's a time for us to set our houses in order. So time and money, they fly away and you can never be used again. And we need to set our house in order because, as Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We are going to be judged by God's order, not by how much we enjoyed our disorder. It's amazing. You know, you can enjoy disorder for a while. You know, it's fun until it's fruitful. You know, people say, well, kids have to sow their wild oats. And so what? We don't correct them? You know, because if that's all you sow, you end up like me when I was 23. And that's all you have to eat. And that's not a good life. So we need to set our house in order. And the order that we set it in is that we are going to be judged. Our time is short. It's always fleeting. James chapter 1 verse 11 says it's like a vapor or cut flower. My wife likes cut flowers. And, you know, it's just supposed to, you know, you buy things for the people you love because they love them. And it's just so hard for me to buy cut flowers because they just die so fast. So we kind of reached a compromise. I buy her planted flowers. And then even when they're in the house, they last quite a while. And then she takes them outside and makes them beautiful. And then 3 years later, she's like, oh, I remember when you bought me that 3 years ago. And then I remember, oh, I ought to buy another one. It's been 3 years. It's an evil time. You know, this COVID time, one of the catchphrases for this COVID time is, we're in this together. Well, I think we're all together in this, but I don't think we're in this together. We're all together in this, but we're not in this together. But hopefully, and I trust, and this is what we are striving for here, is that we here are in this together. That we're going to bear one another's burdens. They're going to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. We're going to set our house in order. So let's turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy and Titus is where I want us to start. The idea of setting your house in order while you're going there came to me not from these passages, but it will show up, but from something God said to Hezekiah, the missionary that we are speaking to today. Katie and Pat. Yeah, Pat's taken a degree in Isaiah, as I shared earlier, and in Isaiah, Hezekiah, God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah, and he said to him, you know what he said to him? He said, set your house in order. Now, I hope that you'll be able to come back next week with me telling you to set your house in order. God told Isaiah to tell him, set your house in order because, does anybody know? You're going to die. It's nice to have a warning so you can get it right, right? We have a warning every time we go to a funeral. Every time we open up the paper and we read the list of people who die. Every time we open our Bible, it's a reminder that death comes by sin. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. But God said to Hezekiah, you're going to die. You have an appointment. And you are going to be judged. It's neat to me when God tells him that he's going to die and he has an appointment, that even our times are in his hand. God has got this all ordered. God is orderly, and he knows when we come on the scene and when we go off the scene. And he wants us to live that time in awareness that he is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, that he is going to judge us by the way that we lived our lives. And we're going to give an account to our Maker. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He was here when we started, and he'll be here. He has given order to life, and so we need to set our house in order for his sake. We noticed in Acts chapter 1 that we come together to get orders, right? Anybody remember that? You should go back to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to really encourage you this, you know, until you got these memorized, because they're so easy. Every place you see in Acts chapter 1 together, it's the reason we come together. You know, I'll magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We come together for what? First one was commandments to be given, and then they received the promises, and then the questions to be asked, and prayers to be offered, and then to do God's business. So they came together to get orders. To be orderly, you have to have received the orders, right? You know, like, no man's going to agree with me, but I was hoping some lady would nod her head. Every man is like, oh, the instructions. Anybody can see how this goes together. Justin bought a desk that had to go together in his house, and he brought it in there. And I'm like, oh, anybody, you know, a desk has got these two sides, these sides, four, three drawers. These are this. So, you know, the ones go on this side because they're this long, and one goes on this side because they're this long. How hard can it be? So I sat down. Well, it's a put-together desk. So it's got these dowels that you put in, and then the instructions say you put this one in these pieces first, and then you do this part, and then these will go together, and that'll hold. Well, you know, you put it all together, and it doesn't stay together because those dowels that went inside and another one screwed into that isn't there, and you start over. That's why in Acts chapter 1, they ask questions, right? They wanted to get it straight. They got the orders, and then they asked questions. Oh, what about the kingdom? It's what's on our mind. You know, if it's really on your mind, you need to ask it. But you can't demand answers. Because Jesus told him, well, that part's not for, you don't need that to do what? What you know you ought to do. What you don't know doesn't matter to do what you know you must do. And so you need to set your house in order by doing what you must do. There's a principle here. The disciples want to please God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says that the subordinate soldier wants to please the commander. It says, no man at war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? So that he can please him who's called him to be a soldier. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter that you step on me, that I'm last in rank and file, or I'm in the middle, or I'm up front, or I'm road guard. It just matters that I'm pleasing him, that I'm in rank and file, in step with him. And so, it's an evil time. It's a war time. Therefore, we need to set our house in order. We might not come back from a battle. We live in a war zone, not a safe zone. You know. If you're an American, you think all of a sudden now, whoever wanted this to begin with, but all of a sudden now, it's your right to be safe. That just doesn't make any sense to me. God put us on this earth to risk it all for the glory of Christ. Not to be safe. You probably got very different views of that than me, but I get to share mine. And you can ask me questions later. You know, some things are opinions. It's a war zone. We live in a war zone. I think that's just from the Bible. You know, he made a whole section of scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand, stand. And you got to stand against something. And if you're standing against something, you're experiencing resistance. And it's not going to be pleasant. If it is pleasant, you're not doing anything. In 2 Timothy, he said that everybody who lives godly will suffer persecution. You will be resisted. You will not be appreciated and liked. It's an evil time. It's a war time. We live in a war zone. But the war room, that's where God is. God and the Trinity are setting up the war plan, and they are making the plan of battle, and Jesus has already told us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church will be victorious, but we're only victorious as long as we are in order, and that we set ourselves in his order, that we march according to his command. And in that case, then, we are an unstoppable army when we are under orders. Everybody knows that a successful military campaign requires order. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. So he's, you know, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. I am the, and you cannot start in the middle and end up in the right place. You start at the beginning. You start with Jesus, and then you can have order in your life. We fight not for victory, but we fight from victory. I got that little phrase from a missionary who spoke at the church where we were in the Catskills, and he went to the mission field partly on there's God's call in his life, but he told me when he came and spoke at our church, he goes, your love for the Word of God challenged me, and I went this way, and he was martyred. He was martyred on the mission field, and he said, and I remember him telling us when he came to our church, we do not fight for victory, but from victory. The war room is where the secret councils are secure and sure. That's God's place, but there is no discord. God is indivisible. He's undivided. There's harmony within the Trinity. He's of one accord. That's why he's a conquering king. That's why God is not suspicious that anybody else got in on the tap. And so we see the order beginning even within the Trinity. And on the war zone, because God is in harmony and discord, the rank and file, that's you and I, we can all be of one accord. You know, in the Acts passage, you know, over and over it says that we're in one accord. It must have been a Japanese church, right? You know, they're... Thank you. It takes a little while. We're in one accord. The church was a step up on the Toyota. I'm a Toyota guy now. I found a very old one that I could afford, and they really do last forever. But, one accord is a step up from whatever. Sorry. First order in life is purpose for living. That's our purpose for living. We're living for God. The definition of a disciple is, this is my definition, is he lives to please God. I got an opportunity to visit someone in the hospital the other day, and on the way there, I was like, you know, God, I want to make it a meaningful visit, not just me trying to earn a paycheck, you know, or filling in where somebody else can't. And so, I was asking God, and he's like, you should, everybody, I assume that everyone who is a Christian is a disciple who wants to please God, and so I'm going to go talk to them about that. I'm going to go discover that, you know. And it was a very fruitful time that turned out to be. But because I believe a disciple lives to please God, like Jesus, he's in order that he can prove that the Father is trustworthy. I hope you can grab that somehow. If you can't, write down 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. Because in there it says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he threatened not. But it says, he committed himself unto him who judges righteously. That's how you do it when you're going against the wind and upstream and you're experiencing resistance. Jesus didn't just love the Father. He did love the Father. He didn't just love the Father, though. He trusted the Father. And a lot of times people aren't in church because they're not trusting the Father. And part of the reason we join church, listen carefully here, the reason we join a church, we join a fellowship, is because we identify with Christ and with the church. We identify with this as, not just with, but we identify as a disciple. When you come to the church and you join a church, you're saying, I am a disciple of Jesus, not of the church, but of Jesus. And then the church together is a disciple. So that when someone is not acting, when someone's not here, you're not acting like a disciple. So take this out and tell somebody, or tell them you can watch it there. You can say, you know, the pastor had the nerve to say it. People all the time say, well, I'm with you in spirit. No, you're not. You are not God. God is a spirit. He can be everywhere. If you're not here, you're not here. If you're not here encouraging the people who are here, who are tired of doing all the work, maybe they're not even asking you to do anything. You're just saying, hey, come and cheer us on. They are cheerleaders, right? They say they help. They distracted me when I was in sports. But not really, Moza. A house in order is a house together. So we come together. Because that's part of being in the rank and file. And so I can charge you, as all that ranting right there was my charge to you, and what you can expect from me is, I expect, if you're a member or if you're in the church, I expect you to be a disciple. And if you're not, I expect you to want me to call you out. And I expect me to be a disciple, not over you, but among you. The pastor and the elder is both. They are among you and over you. And there's to know that, accept that, to work with that. But as where I am, the last thing I want is to have my fly down and stand out here and nobody tell me about it. The only one who doesn't know the sin that he's in sometimes is him. That's what that's why we need to be together. Church Live is dead. It's not church at all. Watching church on whose shoulders did you rub the wrong way there? So people who rub people the wrong way we need each other. Oh, I just did this, and I did. Gotta tell the story. I did my dad had a saying about being penny wise and pound foolish, and I was I'm the saver in our family. And anyway, Melissa had a chair that needed repair, so this is part of a love story. And I got out the Gorilla Glue, because that's the only way I know, that and duct tape. And a lot of people would have drilled something, done something, but nope, I got away. And the Gorilla Glue was hard. It wouldn't come out. So I put it on the heater for days, and it wouldn't come out. And so I decided to stick it in the microwave. See this, and this, this, this. And you ought to see this. You ask me later. It's huge. It's a big bug. I'm so proud of it, because it's like 3 days ago and it still hasn't burst. I've never had a blister last a day. They always burst. And Melissa read the instructions to me. She said, don't break the... I thought, should I pop this and then put ointment on it? She said, don't break don't break it, because it's God's way of protecting the thing. It's your body's way, so keep it there as long as you can. Well, I've never had a blister last this long, because it's never been coated in Gorilla Glue. I don't know why I told that story. Now I feel... Oh, when I do foolish things, tell me. It's one thing, if I step on your toes with the truth, tell me. If I step on your toes by my manner of sharing with you, of revealing to you, an owie, it's your owie, So I can't just march in and go toe-to-toe with you. And we trust his plan. When you can't, like Jesus, in order, he was in order. Jesus was in order. He was sinless. He is God. He is on earth, and he is in order that he proves the Father is trustworthy. Philip said, show us the Father, and it'll suffice. And Jesus said, have I been with you all this time, and you haven't seen the Father? And then he said that him and the Father were one. They're the same essence, but he said, I've demonstrated to you, he is trustworthy. You can spend all for him, and he will take care of that. You can risk all. And you know, Paul said when he was in prison, if I die here, what? Oh, man, what a waste. No, he said that's like the best thing. The promotion came early. So you trust his plan. When you can't, somebody, I think it was Spurgeon or somebody, said, when you can't see his plan, trust his heart. Romans 8:32 says, how shall he who delivered up his son for us all not freely with him give us all things? What are you worried about that you're not going to get? Or what are you worried about that you are going to get when God is the giver of every good thing? Order is so important that we can not call ourselves a Bible church without being under order. Now we go from army to household. Order matters. Order in the church family. Order matters. Order are necessary. Now I'm going to give you, was going to give you a bunch of things that I'm not going to now. Let me just give you them in a list, and then we'll go on from there next time. First, order matters, and we set our house in order because order, there is order in heaven. There is order in heaven. Or God gives order. We're going to see order in creation, order in family, order in church. Therefore, order is a good gift to be received with thanksgiving. That's just order in general, like the order of seasons, all these things. God gave us these things. But order is good. I'm going to try to demonstrate that. That's why I'm not going to do this all this week now. But order is good. To be given orders is good. I wasn't kidding. When I was in the service, I learned that when I got an invitation to the commander's office or the first sergeant's office, not many people get those kind of invitations, huh? Mostly you don't know about the service, it's meaningless to you. But they always went in, and I always knew enough to lock my heels. Sergeant Canfield reporting for orders. Tell me what to do. Don't just tell me what's wrong with what I already did. No. Orders are good. There's order in heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you might as well turn there and stay there because there's order in heaven. God gives order. Then God gives leadership, and God gives then leaders. God is a God of order, and his church is created to reflect his order, his glory. First, there's order in heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, the reason I'm reading verse 1 is that goes all the way back to the last point, but you need to see it. Be imitators of me, Paul said, as I also am of Christ. Paul said, I'm an apostle. You guys understand that? I'm calling the shots here. He could have said that. That's why God ordained the apostles, is that he was setting up the church, setting it in order. We're not going to get there, so I'm going to just encourage you, and all the elders already have this assignment of, along with me, that we read together over and over and over, Titus, 2 Timothy, and 1 Timothy, because we're searching for another pastor. And it's important that we know what he looks like, right? And it's important that we try him by these passages. In Titus chapter 1, Paul told Titus, the whole reason for you being there is to set in order. It was a disorderly place. He said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Not the kind of people who just report for duty, sir. Oh, who do you want now? More money. More time. We got...
Wow.
You need to feed me. We got our own needs to take care of. And Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I follow Christ, and Christ is a person under orders. Look at verse 2. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. It probably doesn't bother you, but I just want to give it to you. You know, we want to be built on the Word of God, not traditions, right? But traditions have their place. But with here from the apostles, the traditions are the oral commandments, the oral orders. It's the same as the scripture, you know, from the apostles. From me? No, not the same, just so we understand that. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. There's order in heaven. God is the head of Christ. Is God better than Christ? Is Christ below God? So there's order in heaven. There's perfect harmony. Look at verse 10. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the, and this is the only reason I'm having you look at this verse, because of the, nobody's looking, huh? I was worried about that here. I never hear pages turning. Because of the angels. The angels are in heaven, and the angels are here, and the angels are observing. And they're saying, this is the kingdom of God. The church is the household of God. It's the bride of Christ. And are they going, Father, I don't understand this. Are they going, now that is what trust looks like. Submission. Submission looks like trust. Trust looks like submission. Where we can't submit, it's really a problem with we can't trust. Can't trust God? Peter addressed that with wives also. You know, he said, being in submission to your husband, it seemed like he, you know, presupposed it. It's like, well, that's going to be a problem. I can't trust this guy. And Peter said, just like the chapter before, just like the worker, the slave, trusts an intolerant, bad, disrespectful owner, and just like people in the government earlier in chapter 2, we've been running it backwards here, the church in under Nero, they trust God. It's not like I'm trusting Nero to make good policies. I'm trusting God to not just rule, but overrule. Submission is a trust thing. God gives order. It's a good thing because it's from God, right? You have to walk you through. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? From above. And so if God gives orders, it's a perfect and good gift. In Psalm 84:11, it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Ephesians 2:8-9. The whole salvation by faith is a gift of God. God gives us this gift so that we won't brag, in order that no man would boast. And then, as Romans 11:29 says, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That God doesn't go, oh, I want Melissa to submit, but she's married to Steve. You're married to... It must be time to quit. That's supposed to be funny. You're married to Jean. There. It's a matter of trust. In this case, we trust God. God gives orders. God's gifts are good. And let me just give you three. God gives order. There's order in creation. All real science is based on order. all real science. I had a conversation with Luke, so this will be good. All real science is based on math. You know, it's amazing to me that when you listen to music on the internet, did you know what it is? It's numbers. You know, it's just incredible to me. And that God is like the mathematician. You know, that is real science. God gives order, and he gives order in creation, and then he gives order to creation. We already read in 1 Corinthians 11, the head of, you know, let me read it in verse 8. For man does not originate from women, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. Let me just stop here. People who say that, you know, that you don't have to believe God is the creator, or that he created this way, the way that the Bible says he created, doesn't really matter in the New Testament. Come on, what are you going to do with this? Rip it and tear it out. How about where he spoke about divorce and he said from the beginning of creation it was not so? Now Jesus doesn't know anything. Paul doesn't know anything. You don't know more than either of them. God has real science, and he has given man the ability. He created man in Genesis 1, 27 and 28 to rule and subdue the earth. And the reason we can do that is because we are made in the image of God. We're not your typical beast. And then because we have the image of God, we have the ability to create from what God created. We don't have the ability to create from nothing. God did that. But we have the ability to use what God has placed before us and the science to create, say, furnaces and air conditioners. I mean, does it get any more important than that, right? Well, it all depends on what generation you're in. Well, TVs and cell phones are pretty important, too. Not as important as furnaces and air conditioners. But they're all important. God has given us the ability to overcome to subdue nature for our benefit. Vaccines. Vaccines is the same thing. It's something, you know, man doesn't create a cure. God cures, but God gives man the ability in these things. So God gives order. There's order in heaven. There's order in creation. And, of course, there's order in the family. I already read that. I had so many other passages here of Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Because the family is a picture of the Godhead. He said, this is a profound mystery, because I'm not just speaking about a husband and a wife. I'm speaking about Jesus and the church, a living forever entity. And then there's, of course, God gives order in the church, where we began and where we're going to end. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I went quite long, but I forgive me because I'm recovered from COVID, I think. The last 2 weeks, I was like, had a hard time even speaking to the end. And I usually speak without think. Or I sometimes do. And this week, I'm thinking and speaking and having such a good time. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, I want the women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modesty, and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly ornaments, but rather by means of good works as benefits women claiming to godliness. And I am not reading where I wanted to read. Verse 12, but I do not allow women to teach or exercise authority over the man, but remain quiet. For Adam was first created, and then Eve. There's order comes from the order in which God had done it. And then there's order in the church when we function according to that creation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the inspiration for this sermon, verse 14 and 15. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. There's a right way and a wrong way to relate and to do God's will in the church, in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. We don't make up truth. We hold it up. And we hold it up by submitting ourselves under it. We submit ourselves under it because we fully trust in the Father. Jesus has demonstrated that not only is God his love, but the Father is trustworthy. He trusted the Father even unto death. And then Titus chapter 2, and that's where we'll be next week. Start Titus 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and following, if you want to be preparing for that. In Titus 1, 5, he said, "For this reason," this is the purpose, "I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." God gives order in creation, in the family, in the church. And what's it say in this verse? Appoint elders in every church. God gives leadership. Now next we're going to study the idea of God giving leadership before we even get to leaders. But God gives leadership, and then he gives leaders to pilot that ship, that part of the ship. And the way, you know, to sink a let's just leave it with that. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do stand in awe of you. You have made all things for your glory. Known unto God from the beginning are all his works, that nothing that happens is a surprise to you, that you bump into a problem that needs to be thought about to be able to be solved, that you have given us what we need to know to set our lives and set our houses in order. You've given us what we need to know when we reach that appointed time when we have to give an account, when we're judged for all that we've done, whether it be good or evil. So we pray, Father, today that you'll use this message, these passages, your word, your spirit, to stir us up to be people of complete trust in you, a congregation under orders, delighting in orders, so that we come together to receive orders, to ask questions, to pray, and then to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.